Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. Let me do a little bit of an adjustment here. So there's a little bit of a thump on the mic. I do apologize about that. How's everybody doing? This is CA, on-air personality on the iHeartRadio Network. Special late afternoon edition. We're normally on in the mornings, but this is a special podcast because what? It is Bill Gaither and Company. That means not just Bill Gaither, but Bill Gaither music that you're going to be hearing. At least two more songs back to back. And then, what is it? On TGIF, thank God it's Friday, or thank goodness it's Friday, Billy Graham Fridays, exclusively and only on my radio station, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. And we got a great one called The Heart's Cure. That's right, you're going to stand by and want to listen to that here in just a little bit. I want to remind you, you have any questions, comments, suggestions, you can email me your prayer request, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Also, guys, feel free to, if you decide that you want to follow me on the Facebook page, we would love to have you on there. Search up the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Check that like button. You can follow me on there as well. All right, I got two more Bill Gaither. This is off of that album, 30 Favorite Homecoming Group Songs. Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Now, that one that was There's Power in the Blood, these are all live versions. That was back when they did their live version, and they still go travel and do that. This one, that one was sung by Lori White. The next one, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, is Daryl Luster and Jim Murray. Enjoy, and let's praise the Lord together. What do you say?
Keep me
And what a celebration that will be when the Saints go marching in. That was on the Bill Gaither's 30 favorite homecoming hymns, which one day we may do a segment on that. We haven't done Bill Gaither in such a long time, but I felt it appropriate to do that with Billy Graham Fridays. That was featuring on that music Jake Hish and Terry Blackwood, the talented voice of those two. All right, get your popcorn ready, ice cream, Coca-Cola, coffee, iced tea, whatever it may be. And let's go back to 1983, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Billy Graham, America's pastor, and how about a heart cure?
To talk tonight on the cure for heart trouble. In Matthew 22, it says that Jesus quoted Moses' law to the effect that he should love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. And he put the heart first. Do you love Christ with all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and all your heart? If you don't, you may miss the kingdom of heaven. You see, your heart is the center of your life. When you lose heart, everything else in life collapses. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, he announced that he'd come to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. Your heart is the center of your life. When you lose heart, everything else collapses. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, he announced that he'd come to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. How many people live out in the suburbs that have big, fine, and beautiful homes, but their hearts are broken? The suffering is not only in certain parts of the inner city of Philadelphia, but it's in some of the wealthier areas. And some of them may suffer even more because their hearts are broken. Perhaps their children have rebelled, or perhaps they're on the verge of a divorce, and their hearts are breaking. Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. But the Bible also teaches that the heart is the seat of decisive action. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He said it in his heart, there is no God. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The very issues of your life come from your heart. Dostoevsky said a century ago, God and the devil are fighting, and the battlefield is the heart of man. And your heart tonight is a battlefield, and the devil and God are fighting for control of your heart. Who are you giving in to? Who are you surrendering to? The devil or to Christ? The heart is the seat of belief as well as the base of doubt. Christ said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witnesses and blasphemies. All these things, Jesus said, come from the heart. You see, the heart is the center, is the seat of life. The Bible says your heart shall live forever in Psalm 22:26. Your body is going to die, but your soul, your spirit, that part of you that can be summed up with the word heart, is going to live forever. Here in Philadelphia earlier this month, there was a primetime TV show entitled Infinite Voyage. That's what each of you is on, whether you like it or not. You have been launched into immortality, whether you realize it or like it or not. When you see that launch of Columbia the other day, it went zooming into space. You have been launched, and you are a living soul the moment you're conceived. And there's nothing you can do about it. And the heart is considered the symbol of the entire person. The heart has come to stand for the center of the moral, spiritual, and intellectual life of a person. It is the seat of a person's conscience and life. The question I want to ask tonight is this: is your heart right? If you haven't had this experience that Dr. Koop talked about in receiving Christ into your heart, you're not ready for eternity. You're not ready for life either, in this life. The Bible teaches that our hearts are sinful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperate to wicked. Who can know it? Last week, the Associated Press carried a terrible story of four teenage girls in Madison, Indiana, who seized a 12-year-old girl and took her to a quiet country road. They bludgeoned and sodomized her with a tire tool, sliced her legs with a knife, then doused her with gasoline and burned her alive. Man's heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Ann Landa's column a few weeks ago asked the people becoming more insensitive and more vicious and cruel and maybe crazier as time goes on. And that's happening. It seems that evil is getting worse. It seems that the devil is on a rampage throughout the world. And that rampage captures you. You may not realize it, but little by little and little by little, your heart is hardened toward the things of God. In Mark 7, Jesus says, from within, out of the heart of men, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts. Do you have evil thoughts? And adulteries and fornications? It's not just the act. It's the thought, it's the lust. Murder. Have you ever hated anybody, been jealous of someone? Then you're guilty. Thefts, cheating in school, covetousness. You want what the other one has. You want things better in life than you're able to provide. And so you covet what the other man has. Deceit. How many of us deceive our children, our wives, our husbands, our parents, our neighbors, our friends? And evil eye and blasphemy and pride and foolishness. All of these things, he said, come out of the heart. The Bible also tells us that we're far from God. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I went to church. I went to a Presbyterian church. And we said we had it all. I was baptized. By the time I was 12, I'd been confirmed. But deep in my heart, there was a hunger. There was an emptiness. I knew that something I didn't have. My heart was not right with God. I'd really never repented of my sins and received Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I was not trusting him for the righteousness that I must have at the judgment, which he provides by his death on the cross and the shedding of his blood for my sins. Yes, we draw nigh unto God with our mouths. We talk about God. Outwardly, we're religious. But deep inside, God looks deep inside and sees that there's something lacking. There's that daily fellowship with Christ that's not there. The blood is not on the lintel of the doorpost as it was supposed to be in Egypt. And the oldest son died when the death angel came because the blood wasn't there. In Romans 1, it says, because when they knew God, They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Think of it, our imaginations. Think of what we imagine. What do you think about when you're alone? What do you think about when nobody's around? Where do your thoughts go? Does it go to the nearest girl? Or the television program you've just seen? Or are your thoughts on Christ? The Bible also tells us that we're far from God. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, sin darkens the understanding. You say, I don't understand it all. Of course you don't understand it all. When I came to Christ, I didn't understand it all. I've been a Christian for many years now, but there's still many things I don't understand. But the one thing I do understand is that I was a sinner and needed a Savior, and I came to the cross. And there I found what I was looking for. I found Christ. Sin not only darkens your understanding and makes it difficult for you to understand, but sin paralyzes the will. You want to come to Christ sometimes, but you can't. Your will is paralyzed by sin. It's like the frog. You can take a frog and put him in hot water and he'll jump out. Take him in cool water and gradually heat it, and he'll stay there and fry. He's being paralyzed gradually. And that's what sin does to us. It dulls our conscience. It defiles the heart. Take heed, brethren, Paul said, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Just unbelief will cause you to depart from the living God. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Ephesians 4. Our hearts can be blinded by Satan. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart, says Jeremiah 5. Psalm 101:5 says, him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not allow. Ezekiel 14:4 says, thus saith the Lord, every man setteth up his idols in his heart. How many of us have idols in our heart? Our idol is not Christ. It's something else that takes the place of Christ in our hearts. You were made in the image of God, and you were made for fellowship with God. And without God, there's an emptiness. And how many people today are lonely? And you don't know why you're lonely. You're lonely because you're lonely for God. You were made for God. Jesus spoke of the hardness of the hearts of people. The same sun which melts the snow hardens the brick. Jesus Christ knocks at your heart's door, and you can soften your heart to him and receive him. Or you can harden your heart and reject him. You have that ability.
There we go. Heart's Cure. Billy Graham, 1983. And that was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Losing my mind there. Okay, guys, we got one more song we're going to play for you guys. The live version, I've had a lot of requests for. The vocal band, The King Is Coming.
Every knee shall bow.
and the marketplaces in downtown Charlotte and Atlanta are all going to be empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are going to be silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives will cease their labors in our great courtrooms. No more debate, because work on earth has been suspended. As the king comes through the gate,
the king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me.
They're gonna line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, and broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he set free. Little children and the aged, hand in hand, stand all aglow, and those who were crippled,
amen. He's coming, friends. He is coming. For me, you, and everybody that has accepted him as personal Savior. Jesus' name, amen. That's right. Wow. Bill Gaither, Gaither and Company, hear a lot of it exclusively and only on my radio station, The Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on iHeartRadio. Well, let's lead off in prayer. I hope you got a lot out of Billy Graham and his message on the heart's cure. And I hope you got blessed today. Please let me know. Email me, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com, or send me a text directly by going to my Facebook page, The Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Click on station information. When you do that, you'll see my direct number. Guys, feel free. I would love to hear your comments on what you thought of The Heart's Cure, because I totally got blessed by that, okay? So let's lead off in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, I just pray you watch over, guide, and bless us, and let us have a great day tomorrow, being Saturday, as we get ready to refresh our hearts for Sunday and the new week ahead. Let us enjoy time with our friends, family, or whatever it may be, and we give all this in your precious name. And all God's people said, amen. All right, guys, this is CA. I am going to settle up late this afternoon, leaving Faith Studio 1, the iHeartRadio studio in beautiful downtown Fort Worth. Stay hydrated. I know it's hot everywhere. I know there's flooding in Kentucky and Tennessee. I know it's getting a lot of heavy rain. I also noticed that up in Missouri, they're getting a lot of heavy rain too as well. Thoughts and prayers for everybody caught in this flooding situation and loss of life, sadly, in Kentucky. Our prayers are with you all. So watch over us, Lord, please. God, and protect us in Jesus' name. Again, we pray, amen. Y'all have a great day. Remember, the sun does rise on the other side. Enjoy life, LIFE, exclamation point dot. And we will talk again soon. Bye for now.